Hello, and welcome to Ag Tech Talk, where we look at the agricultural advances shaping the future of the crop input industry. I'm your host, Dan Jacobs, senior editor with Agribusiness Global. Today, we're talking with Paul Mikesell, founder and CEO of Carbon Robotics, makers of a laser-wielding weed-killing robot. Paul, welcome to the podcast. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks for having me.
Well, let's, before we even jump into the laser weeder, let's talk about Carbon Robotics, the name. What's the significance of that? Where did it come from?
Well, I mean, the honest truth is that we needed a name for the company, and we played with a bunch of different words that we thought sounded cool. And I think Carbon Robotics just came out of that list. There's nothing really specific about it having to do with anything other than we thought it sounded cool.
Fair enough. I just know there's a lot of talk about carbon and sequestration, all that kind of stuff. And
there's certainly, you know, there's certainly positive environmental impacts to the laser weeder itself. Some of it having to do with not having to cultivate so much for weed control, some of it having to do with the negative environmental impacts of herbicide production, primarily on the production side. There's an incredible amount of greenhouse gases that go into the production of herbicides. But the truth of the matter is we just chose the name because we like the way that it sounds.
Can't argue with you there. And we'll get into some of that other stuff you just mentioned in a little bit. You know, technology has been injected into so many parts of our lives, you know, agriculture certainly included. You know, in 10 years or some undetermined time in the future, are we going to see any people actually working in fields, or is it going to be all robotics?
Well, that's a good question. I think that we will probably need people in the fields for a long time to come, just because of the amount of day by day, or in some cases, hour by hour decision making that needs to go on about what's going to happen in the field. The crop markets on a daily basis can have dramatic effects on what the plan for the day is going to be. And so those kinds of business decisions will probably be made by people for a long time to come. But one of the things that those people making those decisions need is more insight, more data, more evidence to make those kinds of decisions. So I think one of the ways in which technologies generally on the farm moving forward will be helpful, not just talking about carbon robotics, but generally, is in getting that kind of information to the growers so they understand what's happening in their fields. And so that's one of the, I think, more exciting things about ag tech generally, is that information about the field in real time is now coming, and that information is now getting to the point where it's actionable. And I think there's been a lot of businesses that have tried to just sort of take pictures and tell farmers how to farm. That turns out not to work very well, but giving folks insights is the real path forward here for all of this, recent trend in data. And so we've been very focused on that as a side benefit of the laser weeder. So there will probably be people involved for a long time, but I hope that the kind of manual labor that's really expensive, hard to source, doing jobs that just generally aren't very fun and have highly variable quality content, I think a lot of that stuff will become automated.
Fair enough. Okay. So we're talking about, you know, what caught my interest is you know, weeding obviously is a huge issue. Resistance, you know, to some of the chemicals you mentioned earlier, you know, is a problem for in some places. So you've kind of gone a different route. You went with lasers. Can you talk a little bit about how that came about and where you're going with that?
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story, maybe. We decided that we could make an impact in farming because we had we came from an area where we were really specialized in understanding computer vision and the way that machines generally understand the world around them. And that was how we started down this path of figuring out that we wanted to work in agriculture. It's a pretty great environment for technology innovation generally, because all of this stuff is happening on private land and controlled environments. Every action that happens on a farmer's land has a dollar value associated with it. And that means that if you build a machine with a demonstrated ROI, then you could have a very successful company. And what that allows you to do is keep building new innovative stuff. It's a pretty huge market. So it's a great place to go into because you can have a large impact. And so that was kind of how we started. And then talking to farmers, we realized that this weed control issue was getting pretty bad because labor is continually getting harder to find. A lot of this is being done by H2A migrant laborers. Those folks have, because they're moving around a lot, you've got housing issues. There's a lot to do with workers' comp, overtime compensation that's very regional and kind of patchworky. Minimum wage law is continuing to change, which is causing a lot of challenges for farmers to even know, you know, what their costs are going to be. So putting people in the field to pick weeds is just not a very efficient use of time. And then there's all the issues around herbicides, what herbicides do to the crops. They set the crops back quite a bit. What the downstream environmental impacts from direct spraying herbicides, the concerns around health effects, both directly to the growers and secondarily to the consumers. Concerns, as we mentioned before, about the greenhouse gas emissions from herbicide production, and then just general efficacy, because there's a rise in herbicide resistance in the weed population. So these weeds are getting resistant to the herbicides. So we saw all these challenges going on. We decided we wanted to do something different. And the lasers came about from us just running experiments and trying some of everything. And I don't know if it was insight or just sort of random trying a bunch of stuff that got us to the lasers. But when we realized that was going to work, that was when we started digging in really hard and figuring out how to put a machine together.
How long was that process from the time the concept to where you are now?
We've been doing this for 4 years, and there's been about 3 years in the field running machines. And that first year was just a lot of experimentation, trying just kind of everything we could think of. And there has been several generations of the machine. The final production for sale version is the one that you can probably see on our website at carbonrobotics.com. And we have all the social media, you know, the Twitters and Instagram and YouTube, et cetera. But that machine is a 20-foot wide machine. So it will run, if you're doing 80-inch row spacing, they'll do three rows of 80 inches. And it's configurable for anything down to 60-inch rows, up to 84-inch rows. But that machine is the one that's the production version. It's a tractor pull-behind implement, gets powered from the PTO of the tractor. And then there's been a couple generations before that were self-driving and primarily are currently used as demo units now. And so that whole process of like figuring out how the lasers would work, ruggedizing it, making it field ready, that's been, you know, 4 years total.
Okay. So can you give us kind of an overview of how it works? I mean, how many lasers are we seeing? How do they hit?
Yeah.
Make sure they hit the weeds and not the crops.
Yeah, the lasers, there are in that 20-foot wide machine, there are 30 150 watt lasers. And so it's a pretty large amount of output power. There's a computer running that is looking at cameras that see the whole field horizontally. So the whole stripe of the field that the machine is over, which will be typically three or six rows, you know, depending on your row configuration, and it's finding all the weeds. And then it's telling the targeting system. So there's a targeting system for each of those lasers. So again, there's 30 of those. That targeting system is through a series of some kind of interesting and clever optics, is able to, and some servos, is able to control where the beam is going to land on the ground, so the laser beam is going to hit. And there's a camera that can see what the laser beam path is going to be. It's configured in a way so that the laser beam looks like it is hitting the ground from the point of view of this camera in the same area of pixels every time. And so that's how that camera knows what it's going to shoot. The view perspective of that camera and the target location of the laser is all controlled through optics. Okay, so it's all a kind of interesting science project to make that whole thing work. And what happens then is that targeting camera is positively identifying the weeds where the laser is moving to and kind of fine-tuning the targeting over time, because the machine is also moving, right? So we've got to identify the weed and then stay on that target while the machine is moving. And that's all done through this computer vision system with this targeting system I've been talking about. And that whole thing happens visually, and it's based on some pretty interesting work that we've done on the computer vision side.
So you've had to sort of train, I'm not sure what the computer brain to like identify what a weed is and what the crop is.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a couple of those things running. The term is a neural net, a deep learning neural net, which just means you could think of it as a giant matrix of they call them neurons in the AI world. It's just think of it as a giant array of little micro decisions. And over time, those micro decisions learn as a group how to do things like detect weeds, detect plants, or detect weeds, detect crops, et cetera. And there's a couple of different versions of those neural nets running. There's the one that finds the original weeds, and then there's the ones that do the fine-tuning target camera adjustments after the laser has found the target. And that whole thing is running. It's a process that's really would not have been possible, you know, 7 to 10 years ago. We didn't know how to do this kind of work in the computer vision world. And AI and deep learning neural nets have really brought about a big change in the way that computers are able to do things, see the world around them. The funny thing is, agriculture and farms is really the sort of perfect environment for this kind of advanced technological deployment. And I'd say the funny thing about that, because people don't usually think of, I think, farms as being an advanced technology area, but it actually really is. And that's come about, that change has probably happened in the last 5 years. And I think a lot of people don't realize it. But some of the most advanced computer vision and robotic machines are out on the farms right now today.
Sure. That's really what we're talking about. And your answer may have addressed this question, so I apologize if I'm just repeating myself here, but is that learning process, is it per farm? Is it, you know, once it's learned something, it's sort of applicable across the field, so to speak, or across different fields?
Yeah, once it's learned, it is applicable across all of the farms, but we are also gathering more data every day, and every picture that we take helps make the system better for everybody.
Okay.
So it is continually getting better from the information we're getting from a diverse number of farms. But once learned, once you deploy a new laser weeder, you know, odds are we already know the crop and the information about the soil, et cetera, to be able to make good decisions. And then we'll continue to make it better over time from images from that specific location.
Okay. So what's actually happening is so the laser spots, or, you know, the computer, the camera spot that weed and they just zap it with a laser. Is that a permanent death of that? You know, is it, I guess it's not getting below ground. It's not hitting the roots. I mean, is it, you know, does it still kill the weed entirely?
Yeah. If you burn out the meristem, the area that's the undifferentiated meristematic growth cells of the plants, if you hit that with a laser or some other high density energy source, you will explode the cell walls of the plant itself and prevent it from growing. And so that's how the system works. And we have been, like I mentioned, doing this for several seasons now. So the efficacy has been, proven time and time again. What's happening is the plant is not able to grow anymore and will die. And that organic material then goes back into the soil and can be used and consumed by the other crops. And so it means that we're not relying on, chemicals, which have their own runoff issues. We're just deploying heat energy directly into the plant to kill it. And it does kill it.
How, I don't know if you can put a percentage on this. I mean, you know, they say, you know, 85%, 95, 112% effective.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I would say we're effective in normal operation at about 88% of the weeds. I think that's been our kind of benchmark. And some of that has to do with variations in weed density across the width of the machine. A lot of it is just, you know, how quickly can you get to how many weeds as you're cruising through that field?
Okay. If I remember reading on your website, I think it said about covers about 2 acres at about, you know, roughly a mile per hour. It's not.
Yeah, that's about right. Yeah.
That's not exactly, you know, setting any speed records there. Is that something, I mean, is it going to improve over the next few years, iterations of the machine?
We, are continually working on performance, you know, all the time. There's a certain amount of energy that needs to be pumped into a plant to kill it. And, you know, with 30 lasers, it sounds like a lot of output power, but there's also a lot of weeds. So we're continually working on this. I wouldn't be looking for a, you know, a 2x performance improvement in the next, you know, 6 months or something, but over time we'll continue to chip away at that speed.
Okay. So is there a, you know, given the current, parameters, is there a certain size farm that this, you know, is a best use? I mean, if you have something that's like, you know, a 10,000 acre farm, it's going to take a heck of a long time to get through all that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think so. Typically anything that's kind of 800 acres or more has been good for us. Last time I looked, our average farm size was, I think, 4,000 acres. And then, you know, tens of thousands of acres. Sure. I mean, no problem. It just means you need more than one laser weeder usually.
Okay. All right. And I think if I read, maybe I'm jumping here, but I think I read the ROI, you had mentioned that earlier, is about 1 to 3 years, obviously, depending on the size of the farm and the machine, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Typically one or 1.5 year to 3 years is the ROI that we really look for and focus on. And that means that the amount of savings per year, if you divide that savings amount into the cost of the laser weeder, that means that within 3 years, the laser weeder pays for itself. So that's how we look at it, is that we need to make sure that growers are getting a paid back period that's 3 years or less, and that they get a positive ROI on every acre. And then it's just a question of how quickly can we build them.
Okay. All right. I think I remember seeing somewhere on your website, the ones for this past year, 2022, were sold out. I don't know how many you built, but, you know, selling out is probably a good thing.
Yeah, we're continually trying to bring on more manufacturing capacity. We have machine slots available in the second half of 2023 right now. The first half of 2023 is sold out. Manufacturing is still difficult right now. Supply chain is still messed up. It's hard to get parts, you know, parts that we used to be able to get, I don't know what, 2 or 3 years ago, used to be able to get them at 10, you know, quantity of 10,000 next day delivered, no problem. Now is like 18 months, you know, so it's, wow. it's still pretty bad. And there's a lot of work to do, and it sort of exposes, I think, how much, particularly for the base level technological components, I'm talking about integrated circuits and microcontrollers, et cetera, everything that goes on a circuit board, on a PCB, you know, how much of those components come from overseas? And the answer is probably 100%. We don't do much electronics manufacturing in this country anymore. And so that means that we're really kind of exposed. And I think there's a lot of shock still working its way through the system. So it's still incredibly hard to get parts. And that's part of the reason why our order book is so far out.
Yeah, that's certainly an issue and a variety of agricultural issues that we've talked about covered over the years. Is there a concern about like the, you know, is this has to be an early season, you know, where the crops are still low? I'm thinking of, you know, corn that grows, you know, several feet tall, you know, later in the season, is there, can the device still be used then?
You want to get us in pretty early. Yeah, I mean, earlier is better. Smaller weeds take less time to shoot and kill. And so getting us in quickly is good. Depends on the crop. For something like onions, which don't really ever shade out, so they always have continually new flushes of weeds, you'll send this in through a couple passes, but we've been in onions up until a week or two before harvest. So as long as it's a crop that's growth cycle keeps it below, 3 feet, we can go in whenever you need. A lot of these things will shade out really fast. So the canopy of the crop will prevent sunlight from getting down below weeds will basically stop growing at that point. And so that's where, for those kinds of crops, we'll do, single pass, or maybe you'll run us through maybe twice or something like that. So it's kind of the crop dependent. But we've been primarily focused on vegetable and specialty crops. So corn has not been a big focus of ours, for economic reasons anyway.
Okay. Have you, so the people that have been using this, the growers that have been using this laser weeder, what kind of response, what are you hearing from them? Are they happy? Are they expressing any concerns or changes, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of deployments, and most of our challenges is about getting machines out into the field, building them fast enough, really. The growers have been happy with it. The cost savings are great. The technology's interesting. We're allowing growers to do things like plant more densely because the laser weeder's accuracy and how close it can get to crops and still kill weeds and all of that stuff is allowing growers kind of to do things like get more stand count per acre, things like that. So there's some positive benefits beyond just killing weeds that have come from the laser weeder. From the fact that we don't have any crop inputs, so you're not putting herbicide in the ground. You don't have to till, so you're not spinning up that topsoil. You're not getting microbacteria onto the leaves of your leafy greens, right? So you're not having to cultivate. So there's been a lot of sort of secondary benefits that we didn't even realize when we were building the initial product spec that we learned about. And that's been exciting for us.
Okay. What's the old line? If you're not moving forward, you're falling behind. I mean, what's next for the laser weeder? How will it be different a couple of years from now?
Yeah, we've been focusing on some other things we could be doing. Laser weeder software now is working on and finishing up the technology for thinning. So you can use laser weeder for thinning. Some folks will want to basically overseed the fields because you don't get 100% germination in your seed. And so you put more seeds down so that you get good stand count throughout the field. But if you do that, if you overseed, what that means is you'll have some crowding issues in areas where you do get good germination across a higher distribution of the seeds. And so there's a process called thinning, which is get rid of some of those extra plants that will cause crowding issues. And so laser weeder can also do that. So that's what we're working on. And then just sort of generally other technologies on the farm and areas that we can help with. We're starting to focus on some of those other projects.
Okay. Anything you can share right now, or
nothing yet?
Pull that in your back pocket. Yeah.
Nothing yet. We don't know what's going to pan out yet, so I don't want to make any predictions.
Fair enough. What else do we need to know?
Laser weeder, it's been kind of a labor of love and passion over the last 4 years. Just you can see our social media and see how it works. And if you're interested in laser weeder, check out Carbon Robotics. We are the one and only laser weeder.
Okay, and I think you mentioned the website earlier. That was carbonrobotics.com?
Yeah, that's right, carbonrobotics.com.
Okay, terrific. Thank you, Paul, for your time today. We appreciate your thoughts on technology and the future of agriculture. Join us next time for another installment of AgTech Talk, where we'll talk with another expert improving the ag industry through technology.